Dr. Christian's office, Judy speaking. Why, Fran Harris, you sound terrible. My, your hay fever is certainly working overtime.
And it's the Vaseline program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the show. Tonight, Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania gets the spotlight, and the prize goes to Jack B. Plumley, 4124 Rosemont Avenue, for his story of canine justice. Jean Hersholt is starred as Dr. Christian, and screen actress Rosemary DeCamp plays Judy Price.
Well, I hadn't realized the season for hay fever's back already. Well, I've got a suggestion, Fran. One thing that always helps is Vaseline petroleum jelly. Oh, it's quite effective. You just put a little Vaseline petroleum jelly in each nostril in the morning as a protective coating. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that helps keep the airborne pollen from getting into and irritating the sensitive nasal membrane. Yes, if I were you, I'd apply Vaseline petroleum jelly not only in the morning, but before going outdoors and at night, too. And keep right on using it that way for the rest of the hay fever season. You'll breathe more easily. And sleep better, too. Mark my words. Yes, isn't it amazing how versatile Vaseline petroleum jelly is? You know, industrial workers use it in much the same way, inside the nostrils. That's right, as protection against dust and fumes. Well, get yourself a jar or handy tube of Vaseline petroleum jelly at the drugstore, and you just try my suggestion. Call up again, Fran. Make it soon. Goodbye.
And so to our prize play, Canine Justice. Dr. Christian has had his usual hard day, and as our story opens this evening, he and Judy Price, his office nurse, are about ready to leave the office.
Dr. Christian, if you start working on those files, you'll be here until morning. Why don't you wait until tomorrow?
Procrastination, my dear Judy, may be only a habit to some people, but it's more serious than that in my case.
Oh.
If I put this off until tomorrow, I might as well forget it entirely.
Yes, I know what you mean. Every day seems to bring more work than you can possibly do.
Oh, my goodness. Someone seems very anxious to prolong this day for us, Judy. You better answer it.
Wonder why he doesn't use the buzzer. Why, hello there. Did you want something?
I sure did. I want to see Dr. Christian. I got some trouble with my dog, and he's the only doctor I trust to take care of it.
Oh, but Dr. Christian isn't a dog doctor.
That makes no difference. Nothing is too good for Laddie.
I see what you mean.
Well, bring him in, Judy. And maybe we can be of some service.
All right. Come on in, Sonny, and bring your dog.
Well, hello there. I believe you're one of the very few boys in River Sands I don't know.
I'm Kenny Douglas, and this is my dog, Laddie.
Well, young man, what seems to be your trouble?
Laddie has a splinter in his front right foot, Doctor. I tried to get it out, but it's pretty deep, and I thought you should have a look at it.
But Kenny, Dr. Christian isn't a veterinarian.
Veterinarian? You mean a returned soldier?
Huh?
Gosh, I know that.
Oh, well, no. Never mind, Judy, never mind. I think I can take care of this, even if I'm not a returned soldier. Will Laddie bite me, do you think?
Nah, he's as gentle as he ever was. He's been detrained.
Detrained? I don't think I understand.
Maybe I better start at the beginning. But I'll have to make it kind of short, because that splinter is hurting him.
Well, now, in the interest of kindness to animals, suppose we take out the splinter first and then hear about his detraining.
Now you're talking. Here, Laddie, give the doctor your paw. Nah, the other one. That's a boy.
Oh, that dog seems to know exactly what you say to him.
Sure he does. My dad says he's got more sense than a lot of people.
Your dad, it would seem, is a bit of a philosopher. Come on, Laddie. Let's have that paw again. That's a good fellow. Judy, those small tweezers in my back, if you will.
All right.
I think we can fix Laddie without getting chewed up too badly.
He won't bite you. I explained to him that you might hurt him a teeny-weeny bit, but that would only be in order to help him, and I think he understands.
Well, you know, Kenny, from what I've already seen of this dog, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he did.
This pair, Dr. Christian?
Yes, that's fine. Now, Laddie, just hold still a moment, boy, and we'll have it out in a jiffy.
Never mind, Laddie. The doctor will fix your foot right up, as good as new.
There, that's old boy. You got the whole thing, too, and a nasty-looking splinter it was, too.
Did you really get it that quickly, Dr. Christian?
Here's the iodine, Doctor.
Golly, laddie, you're getting real service. A nurse and everything.
Kenny, having fixed up your dog in proper style, suppose you tell us about this detraining business.
Well, sir, you see, Laddie is a war dog.
You mean he's been in the K-9 Corps? In actual Army service?
Yep, he sure has. 2 years ago, when he had so much trouble finding enough meat to feed him, we decided to lend him to the Army for the duration so he'd get enough to eat and also serve his country.
And I'll bet the Army was glad to get him. He's certainly a noble beast.
Yeah. His mother is a thoroughbred German boxer, and his father is a German shepherd. But don't get the idea that he likes Germans because of that.
Oh, no, of course. I understand.
We had his sister. That is, his... well, I don't know exactly what relation she was to him. She had the same mother and father, but she was born a couple of years before him.
I guess that'd still make her his sister, Kenny.
Anyway, she died when she was a year old. My brother, Jack, he's a lot older than I am, said he guessed we'd never get another dog. And then one day, my daddy brought Laddie home in his overcoat pocket. He was such a cute little fella, but he never thought he'd grow this big.
Well, he's a big fella, all right. How much does he weigh?
When he went into the Army, he weighed about 75 pounds. But he weighed 90 pounds the day he was shipped home. 2 years later.
2 years? And did he know any of you?
Sure he did. He didn't know any of us when he saw us. But when he heard our voices, he put up his ears and sniffed us. And then he was like a crazy dog for a while. I'll say he knew us.
How is it that he got out of the Army so soon?
Well, he developed some disease while he was down south on sentry duty in an Army camp. It's called
Oh, you mean filariasis?
Yeah, that's it. What you said. Anyway, they sent him to Nebraska for a couple of months' treatment and made him better. And detrained him.
I never heard anything like it.
Oh, yes, it's the usual thing, Judy. The Army takes the greatest care of these war dogs and returns them to their original owners in as perfect condition as possible when, for any reason, they cannot use them again.
I'll bring over his honorable discharge papers someday and show you, Miss Judy.
His discharge papers?
Sure. He's got a beauty.
Oh.
Here, I got the words all copied down here on a piece of paper somewhere. Oh, here he is. Listen. Quartermaster Corps, War Dogs, K-9 Section, U.S. Army. Honorable discharge. The War Dog Laddie, tattoo number A... 527, having served with the armed forces of the United States of America, is hereby awarded the certificate of faithful service and honorable discharge.
Almost exactly like the discharge of a regular soldier.
Yeah, and it says under remarks that he was on sentry duty and gives the date he enlisted and the date of his discharge and his serial number, 5208. He's no ordinary dog.
Oh, no, I can see that.
And we never have to buy a license for him as long as he lives. At least, that's what somebody told my dad.
But if the dog catcher picks him up, Kenny, how will he know that Laddie's a war dog?
That'll be easy. He's tattooed.
He's what?
Tattooed. You know, like a sailor. Here it is on the inside of his left hind leg.
Well, of all things. Why, that's the same number that was on his discharge paper.
And he seems as proud of it as some sailors are of the, well, the various things they have to tattooed on their arms and chest.
Well, Kenny, I'm glad you brought him to me. He was just a bit out of my line, but I'll admit I've learned a lot.
Isn't he at all vicious after the Army training?
Who, Laddie? No, Miss Judy. He's as gentle as he ever was, except when somebody tries to pick on me or my brother Jack. He won't stand for any fooling. He shows his teeth and growls.
And from the looks of him, I'd say he might mean business.
Well, we've got to beat it. Folks don't know I came over here, and they might get worried. Send me your bill, will you, Dr. Christian? We live in the house with the white columns out on the river road.
Oh, now I know who you are. Why, you only moved there from out of town a few weeks ago, didn't you?
That's right. We used to live in Shadeland, about 50 miles from here.
Well, I'll tell you, Kenny. Daddy has served his country in noble fashion. He's been honorably discharged from the United States Army. I don't think my bill would be exactly in order. Let's say that it's my contribution to his future health.
Gosh, that's keen of you, Dr. Christian.
And if ever there's anything the matter with him, you let me know. There's a friend of mine who's one of the best dog doctors in the state. Now I'll get him to look Laddie over. I don't think he'll send a bill either.
Boy, you're certainly in luck, Laddie. Well, so long, Doctor. Goodbye, Miss Judy.
Goodbye, Kenny. I hope Laddie lives a long, happy life.
Judy, that was an experience I would not have missed for anything. What a bright youngster. And what a beautiful dog.
That boy certainly is proud of his dog's war record.
And justly so. To a small boy, any dog is close to perfection. But just think what it means to own a war dog. Well, as I said some time ago, I'm finished for today.
Oh, I must be running, too. But it was worth the overtime to meet a discharged veteran of the K-9 Corps.
Come on now, Laddie. If I'm going to show you the sights around River's End, you'll have to stop spending so much time chasing squirrels. Don't you know they can beat you every time? After all, you can't follow them up trees. Look. You see that old house up there on the hill? Well, that's the only haunted house in this neighborhood. And I've been just waiting for a chance to look it over. That is, when I had somebody like you along, just in case there is a ghost up there. Want to explore it? Too darn bad you can't talk. We'd have a lot more fun if you could answer me. But I guess you meant yes that time. And I know I'd like to look inside myself. Come along, let's run. Here we are, Laddie. Now I'll just see if there's a door open anywhere around here. Gosh, but it's a spooky place. Laddie, where are you? Oh, I guess he's off after another squirrel. He just never gives up, that's all. Yep, this door's open all right. So here goes.
Hey. What are you doing in here, kid?
I'm sorry. I didn't know there was anybody who lived here. Is this your house?
What's it to you? And who sent you here snooping?
Nobody sent me here. In fact, nobody knows I came. I just wanted to see what a haunted house looked like inside.
Well, you did, huh?
Yeah. We had one back in Shadeland. Now, that's the town where I used to live. But you had to have a boat to get to it.
Shut up, kid. What I want to know is why you come snooping around here spying on me.
Really? I didn't come for anything except to show this house to my family.
No. You did come to show something to somebody, huh?
Gosh. Look at all that jewelry. Are those diamonds real?
Mind your business. It's just too bad you had to see them.
Hey, are you a thief?
Huh?
Is that why you're so afraid for me to see what you have there?
Oh, so now you want to ask questions, huh? Well, it won't do you no good. Because just as soon as I make sure you're alone, I'm going to fix you so you'll never tell what you've seen in here.
Now I know who you are. You're the man who's robbed all those jewelry stores lately. My father was reading about you just last night in the paper, and I heard a broadcast about you on the radio.
Yeah, and I guess you'd like to run home now and bring the police up here, wouldn't you?
That's just what I am going to do.
Good. Now, what are you going to do, my fine feathered little friend?
Let go of me. If my dog comes in and sees you hold me, he'll kill you.
Your dog? Kill me? That's a good one. You must have a bloodhound.
No, but he's a war dog, and he'd kill you if he thought you were going to hurt me.
Yes, kid, you give me a good laugh. Now, forget about your dog and listen to me. I'm going to tie you up good and tight and leave you in here. Maybe somebody will come by and find you before it's too late. But if they don't, it's none of my business. You'll come here on your own. You have to get out the best way you can.
But you can't do that. That's murder. I might starve to death before anyone finds me.
Too bad, ain't it? But if you think I'm going to let you run back to town and put the fools on my trail before I get a chance to get away, you're nuts.
You better not touch me. I'll call my dog.
Don't make me laugh no more. Gives me a pain in my side. Come along over here, like, get a hold of that rope. Now, hold still. I won't hurt you. try to fight, I'm going to have to smash you when I keep you quiet.
Stop it. You can't tie me up here like this. I'll get all the policemen in the country after you.
Yeah, most of them are after me already, buddy. But when I get you tied up, you won't do much talking.
Did you hear that? That's my war dog, Laddie. I'll give you one more chance to turn me loose, and then I'm going to call him.
There. I guess them knots will hold it till you can't do me no harm.
All right, mister. You asked for it. Laddie! Here, Laddie! Laddie, help! Laddie, get him! Pick him up!
Get away, dog! Don't you come near me! Hey, I'm going to shoot you just as sure as you're a dog!
Get on him. War dog, I told you. Don't you know what that means?
Get away, dog. All right, you asked for it. Guess I'll have to shoot you and take a chance at having the shot hurt.
Dr. Christian, Kenny Douglas's mother's on the phone. She wants to know if Kenny's been over here with his dog again. Seems he's been missing most of the day.
I haven't seen him, Judy. Oh, ask you first. There's anything... Oh, here, let me talk to her. Hello, Mrs. Douglas. This is Dr. Christian. Oh, well, that's too bad. Oh, I'm sure he'll show up shortly. Call me again if there's anything I can do. Yes. Goodbye.
What is it, Dr. Christian? Is the boy lost?
I don't seem to know. He went off early this morning to show Laddie the sights of River's End. They haven't heard anything from him since.
Huh. Wouldn't you think a boy of that age would have gotten terribly hungry before this?
Yes, you would think so. Now, I wonder where a boy and his dog would go. Now, let me think where I would have gone if I'd had a dog like that on a beautiful morning such as this one was. Hello, this is Dr. Christian. Yes, I know. I'll be right over to your place, Mr. Douglas.
Oh, what's happened, Dr. Christian?
This was Mr. Douglas this time. He says he's been out asking questions about Kenny, and he found a couple of people who saw him and Laddie going toward the old haunted house this morning. I'm going out there with him now.
Oh, Doctor, let me come along, too. You might need help if anybody's hurt.
Well, it's against my better judgment to take you into anything like this, Judy, but... All right, come along. Here we are, Mr. Douglas. Judy, you stay in the car, will you, until I call you?
No, I'm going right along with you. I'm not afraid of a haunted house, especially in the afternoon with the sun shining.
Hello, whoever you are. Please come in here and untie me.
That's Kenny, and he sounds all right.
Yeah, and the dog sounds healthy enough, too. I guess they just caught him in there somehow. Good Lord. Judy, please don't come in here.
Why not? You forget I'm a nurse, Dr. Christian.
All right, then. Here, I'll cut Kenny loose from those ropes first.
Gosh, Dr. Christian, I'm glad you got here. I'm getting terribly hungry.
Who in the world tied you up this way, Kenny, and why?
That man over there on the floor.
Oh.
He's a robber, and all those Jews on the table are stolen. I warned him not to touch me or Laddie would tackle him, but he wouldn't listen. Then he was foolish enough to try and pull a gun on Laddie. That really did it.
I guess he had never heard about some army dogs training for that sort of thing, Kenny. I'm afraid he paid pretty dearly for his lesson.
Oh, never mind, Laddie. You did exactly right. He certainly had it coming to him.
Judy, get Kenny's father in here quickly.
Oh.
Tell him the boy is quite all right. I'm going to get this man ready to move to take the hospital. It's just possible we can still save him. Although he's lost a lot of blood.
I'll come with you, Miss Judy. Dad must be worried about me not coming home. And gosh, but I'm hungry.
Dr. Christian, what about that thief at the hospital? Will he live? Did they identify him from police records? And will Kenny get a reward for his capture?
Oh, Judy, please. Let me get my breath, and then I'll tackle those questions. But one at a time.
Oh, well, here now. You sit right down here. Let me fill your pipe. Just take your time.
What? And run the risk of having you burst for curiosity?
Oh, no, Judy, I can't risk that.
No, I'm perfectly calm, and you know it.
Well, Judy, it was like this. The police of several metropolitan cities have had flyers out for this man. He was known, but he could never catch up with him. The jewelry has already been mostly identified, and there's quite a large total of rewards which Kenny will get.
And Kenny himself, is he all right after being tied up all day?
Oh, yes, he's fit as a fiddle. But I'm surprised at you, Judy. You didn't ask about the patient.
Frankly, I don't much care. Any man who would tie up a little boy like that and plan to leave him there to starve deserves all he got.
Well, he certainly deserved punishment, but I wouldn't say he deserved quite the chewing off Laddie gave him. However, he is going to live to face the various charges against him.
Yeah, I'm glad of that. Then there won't be any danger of people wanting to do anything to that splendid dog. They might have, you know, if that man had died.
Well, there are those who still think the dog is not safe to be around human beings. There's some talk of having him done away with.
Dr. Christian, you don't mean to tell me that you'll allow such a thing as that to happen.
And one thing I do know, before anything happens to that dog in the way of punishment, the opposing forces will have to fight to the nail with a very grateful father and an amazing child and an old bachelor doctor by the name of Paul Christian.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you.
Thank you very much. After the celebration of a long, long-awaited victory, we are now still flushed with a feeling of quiet jubilation. May we never forget the bitter struggle of war and work diligently toward the winning of the peace. Now you'll be interested to know that I have here in my hand a photostat of the discharge paper of the war dog, Laddie, who inspired the story you heard tonight. The story is, of course, pure fiction, but the dog is real. Laddie belongs to the children of the author, Jack B. Plumley of Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, writer of many adventure stories for the magazines, and now for radio. Next week, our presentation is Leave It to Love by Mary M. Prendle of St. Joseph's, Missouri. We invite you to listen to the Vaseline program next Wednesday evening, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
When you've got a glowing, red, stinging sunburn, halfway measures won't do. What you want is the cooling, soothing, three-way relief of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly. Vaseline Petroleum Jelly supplements natural skin oils, helps prevent infection when skin or blisters are broken, and helps promote healing. Remember, it's Vaseline Petroleum Jelly for cooling, soothing relief. Get a jar or handy tube of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly tonight. Be sure to hear Mary M. Prendle's prize play, Leave It to Love, next week on the Dr. Christian program. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.